insomnia. Various sources suggest that up to 10% of us suffer to some degree from insomnia. So what is insomnia? Basically, it is the difficulty in falling asleep and or staying asleep. Sleep in itself is a complex biological function, and we understand its physiology very little. However, this is a little of what we do know. Normal duration of sleep varies between 6 hours to 10 hours. Sleep duration varies according to age, with infants sleeping up to 18 hours a day, to elderly sleeping 6 hours a day. We understand that there is a rhythm of sleep called circadian rhythm. Normal circadian rhythm oscillates at slightly more than 24 hours in length and is reset each day by light and other time cues. The circadian oscillator appears to involve the suprachiasmic nucleus of the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus receives direct stimulus from light that travels through the eye and up the optic nerve. These impulses reset the rhythm each day. Each sleep period consists of a series of biphasic 90 to 100 minute cycles of non-rapid eye movement, other words known as NREM or NREM, and rapid eye movement, also known as REM sleep or REM. Each non-REM and REM are approximately 45 minutes in duration. So when you add them, the two up together, you get a 90 to 100 minute cycle. This cycle starts with a non-REM phase and is characterized by progressive slowing of brain activity, heart rate, respiratory rate, and decrease in muscle tone and blood pressure. This is also known as deep sleep. So this is when, if somebody is in this deep time of sleep, they're very difficult to awake or arouse. Non-REM phase is followed by the REM phase of the cycle and is characterized by rapid eyeball movement under closed lids and increase in brain activity, heart rate, respiratory rate, and blood pressure. Individuals can easily be aroused while in this phase and can recall vivid dreams during this time. The non-REM and REM cycle repeats itself four to six times each normal sleep day. When this occurs, individuals awake and rested. However, when this normal sleep cycle doesn't occur, fatigue, anxiety, depression, and the inability to function usually sets in. There may be different causes of insomnia, such as circadian rhythm shift, sleep apnea, fever, pain, cardiopulmonary disease, anxiety, stress, alcohol, drugs, depression, and schizophrenia, to name the most common. At this time, I would like to welcome my patient, Joel, to Wellness in the New Millennium. Joel, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Very good. So, Joel, in February of 2000, just, I guess, early last year, you came in to see me for a variety of symptoms. What were the symptoms, and when did they begin?
Well, I had insomnia, which you just mentioned, and along with the insomnia together, I had night sweats every night. Mm. And the insomnia came consistently at a certain time at night, which was about 1 a.m. in the morning. I'd wake up sweating.
Sweating, okay.
Yeah, and this was in December, January, and it was, you know, actually cool.
Okay.
At this time of
right.
the season.
And this was December of 1999.
1999, yeah.
Okay.
And then I had other symptoms like intense hunger and unsatisfied hunger. I would eat and eat, and I would, you know, be hungry all the time. I couldn't satisfy my hunger.
And that's quite unusual, and that's something that I'd like to talk about a little bit later. Go ahead.
And along with, I had a lot of other symptoms, many symptoms. I had depression where I felt like I wanted to be alone. I couldn't put up with noise and every, I would say minor things bothered me.
More than usual.
More than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And I had difficulty concentrating. I lacked motivation. I had inability to cope with stress. I had mood swings. which I think tied in with the depression. I had mentioned. Mm-hmm. I had, and I guess I had some psychological effects because I couldn't sleep, and the more I couldn't sleep, I guess it worked on me.
Right.
I would go to bed at possibly 10:30, 11, 11:30, but it was consistent. I'd be really sleeping well, and all of a sudden I'd wake up at 1 and I'd be sweating.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wouldn't get back to sleep. Mm-hmm. All night.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got out of bed.
Yeah, so you only slept maybe 2.5-3 hours or so.
Exactly,
I guess.
Yeah.
Mm. And you would actually try to fall asleep though during that whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Any other symptoms besides that?
Let's see. I guess I was nervousness, and I had a lot of anxieties.
Mainly about sleep, though? Or was it outside of sleep?
Well, I was going to work.
You were working at this time?
Yeah, and when I went to work, I had a hard time organizing myself, my thoughts, and especially my work job. I had a lot of documentation, writing, and I found myself very uncoordinated. My writing became very shaky and,
illegible.
Illegible.
You couldn't even read it.
Yeah.
And this was very, very unusual for you, though, because typically you're very organized.
Well, I had to be with my job, but I wanted to mention that this was in December, and actually, I guess we're coming to some other things which you're going to mention, but all these things were creeping up into something that happened to me later on. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So initially, you were still able to function, I guess, in December.
Yeah, and there was another symptom. My regular MD noticed I had lost 10 pounds, and he was kind of concerned, and he told me that I had to go to, he scheduled me for a lot of physical.
Okay.
To check out my health.
Right, and I guess he did a lot of testing on top of that.
Yeah.
When was that about, when you went to see a medical doctor and he discovered that you lost quite a bit of weight?
That was about November, the month prior to what we're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
November of 1999.
Yeah.
Okay. And what types of tests did he do on you?
He did, he sent me to a urologist to check on my prostate.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me to have a barium enema, which I wouldn't recommend to my worst enemy.
Wasn't comfortable at all.
Yeah, I had one, a couple years prior.
Yeah. And then you had to go through it again.
Those were the big tests.
Yeah.
Among, some other simple ones, taking blood tests.
Right, because he was actually checking for, I guess, colon cancer.
Yeah.
And prostate cancer.
Yeah.
Because typically one of the more common symptoms of cancer is weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And any other tests besides that?
I think I had some x-rays, blood tests.
Okay.
But they were minor.
Right. And they were all negative, I guess.
Yeah, everything was, I checked out fine. Physically,
right.
He couldn't find anything wrong
with me. And this was in November?
December.
December, when he went through all the tests.
Yeah, and I want to mention, I went on leave. I went to my workplace and I talked to my supervisor and mentioned that, I was having these health problems.
Right. You're talking about the insomnia and the depression.
Yeah.
And
I do have sleep apnea, so I attributed most of my problems with sleep apnea. And
the insomnia.
Yeah. And so I took a month leave all of December and I went back in January, early January.
Okay. Because I guess it was affecting you enough that it was affecting your job.
And I had mentioned previously, I think all, my problems were creeping up on me unknowingly,
A lot of other symptoms, too, on top of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. So I guess the x-ray was done to rule out probably like lung cancer and the blood tests, other types of cancers. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I guess a CEA.
I think the bare minimum was for my colon.
Colon cancer.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know it was starting to snowball for you, I guess, from December and January. And then I guess you went back to work, though, in January.
Yeah. I went on a partial day program. My employers were very supportive, mm-hmm. and they put me on a partial day program. I could basically structure my program according to how I felt
right.
best, you know, right. fit my needs.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And then you went back to work on a part-time basis, and then what happened?
And then I went back to work in January, and I kind of struggled through January. And then in February, early February, I started having this hunger problem.
That intense hunger.
Intense hunger, and no matter what I ate, I still, you know.
Was hungry. Even if and you then, ate a lot.
Yeah, and I was telling
minutes
my
Minutes later, you were hungry.
Yeah, so I was telling my wife, geez, you know, I don't know what's going on. Because I'm always the type, I eat 3 square meals a day and I hardly snack in between.
Right.
You know, so she told me, well, take snacks with you. So I took all kinds of snacks. Uh-huh. I took cookies. I took sandwiches. Mm-hmm. I took peanuts. I took whatever.
Right.
But every time I would snack, I would be hungry. I snack, hungry, and I would eat my lunch. I'd be hungry, mm-hmm. and it went like that all day.
So you were hungry all day long.
Yeah, and this went from. This is the week. At the end of the week, I called you, but this is that. Early part of that week, mm-hmm. I went through this problem, and by the end of the week, I started having problems with my upper stomach.
Okay.
You know, between my rib cage,
right,
at the
right.
top of my rib cage.
Was that like heartburn or reflux?
Yeah, I felt like there was a big hole in there, something like, you know, like ulcer.
Oh, like an ulcer.
Yeah, and it was really, really bad, and so I called my regular doctor.
Okay.
And I spoke to him. I said, I would like to come in because I need help. And,
right.
But my regular doctor listened to me, all my symptoms, and he told me, well, and apparently he's a very busy man, you mm-hmm. know, very, very busy and difficult to get to see.
Get a hold of. Mm-hmm.
You know, without without maybe a week ahead of
schedule. Yeah.
So he told me, well, that's just a passing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have a history with you where I had an industrial and you helped me with my back.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So I thought about you and I called you that same afternoon. It was a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned I have some problems and I'd like to come and see you immediately.
Uh-huh.
So you arranged for me to come the next day, which was Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Explain a little bit about how the hunger, intense hunger, affected your day, because that struck me as very, very unusual, where I think you kind of described it a certain way.
Well, I felt, you know, I didn't have energy.
Right, you were fatigued all the time.
Fatigued, and I couldn't concentrate. I often was very disorganized in my thoughts and in my planning process of my job. I couldn't do my job effectively.
Right.
I couldn't write well because, you know, my hands were shaking all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess what we have to kind of get across is that has never happened for you because you've been in this type of profession for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's something that comes almost second nature to you, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to be disorganized and not able to prioritize, very disturbing, I guess, for you.
Right.
Yeah. How else did that intense hunger kind of affect you during your daily activity?
I guess I was very fatigued.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and
that was one of the big symptoms.
I remember a lot of times I just put my head down and do nothing.
Yeah.
You know, do work. I just had to rest and just do nothing.
Because of the fatigue.
Yeah.
Just to do anything made you really tired.
Yeah.
But I recall you mentioning to me that you were so hungry that you couldn't think because you just had to eat.
Right.
All day long. And to me, that struck me kind of unusual because you were telling me you were eating all day, but yet you couldn't satisfy that hunger.
Yeah.
Go ahead and would you tell us what other types of doctors you saw during this time? Was it just...
When I was seeing you, I was also seeing my regular doctor.
Your internist?
When I talked to him about how you were treating me, he said, oh, well, you know, he wasn't too agreeable, you know, in a subtle way. He'd tell me, well, anytime you want to get off the supplements, you were giving me supplements. Mm-hmm. He said, we can get rid of it, stop it now, and I can do all these things. He told me step by step. The same things, get me assessed medically, and then, I would prescribe, I would check you here, check you there, and I would prescribe this and that and rule out, you know, different things along the way. But I told him, I'm starting to go into Mitch, you know, I don't want to quit anything I start, you know, I'll go through this. But I said, I'll be coming to you and, you know, continue and keeping you informed.
Oh, very good. Okay. And this was the physician that you had a long-term relationship with that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, he's the one that I called and he...
Okay.
I guess I mentioned that when he refused to see me, he turned me over to his receptionist who gave me an appointment at the end of the month, which was like almost 3 weeks away, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that would be... And he didn't really understand what was going on with you, I guess.
Right, right.
Because you were, I guess, and anyone would feel that way, you were really needing help.
I was kind of desperate.
Yeah.
I knew I couldn't function like that. I couldn't go on like this.
Yeah. One is you couldn't function at work.
Right.
Great difficulty. And also, two, you couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
So that's going to kind of exacerbate or snowball the whole things that you were going through. Were you given any kind of medication?
Yeah, when I went to the urologist, he said I had a slight prostate infection.
And this was November.
And that was in November.
November, okay.
That was, and he prescribed me antibiotics, and I had to take two pills every day for 1 month.
For 1 month. Yeah. So quite a long time.
Quite a long time.
Okay.
And then,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. So that's something that I kind of picked up on. But along the way, because now you've seen me in February, it's been about 3 months or so since all this symptoms started to get worse. But also what you had mentioned, besides the heartburn or like the ulcer feeling, you mentioned that you had bloating and belching, a change in bowel movements, which was alternating diarrhea and constipation. And and to me, that kind of signaled a couple of things for me. And when we discussed your history and I found out that you had received antibiotic treatment in November for about a month, I told you that I felt you had a systemic candida infection.
Yeah.
Would you share your feelings about what you thought at that time that I told you this?
Yeah, when I sat down with you when I started to explain all the symptoms, you kind of... After a short while, you started to nod your head, and you started to say, "I understand what you say. I think I know what's your problem." And you thoroughly explained the candida infection and what was happening to my digestive system, and you. You verbally explained this, but you were also illustrating on paper what was happening with the candida germs, how it was attacking my system, and what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have a good understanding, you know.
Right. So I guess I educated you enough that it made sense to you.
Yeah. And it made a lot of sense to me because my MD could not diagnose the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, to them it was just a bunch of random symptoms that didn't make sense.
Because he verbally told me Candida is, I think he was saying external rather than internal.
Yeah. Right. Which is very unusual because I don't know if I showed you the medical books, but the Bible of Medicine, being the textbook of medicine written by Dr. Cecil, it says right in there that systemic candida has become a problem since we started using antibiotics and prednisone or corticosteroids. And also in many other textbooks, they mention that since we started using corticosteroids and antibiotics, we're creating a systemic candida infection in our intestines. And understanding how systemic candida develops, I could see how the symptoms that you had, Joe, came about with the onset of antibiotics and then the symptoms coming about after that. And the one that struck me pretty hard was the intense hunger that you had and the weight loss. Because typically when you're eating all the time, mm-hmm. you would expect to gain weight, but yet you were losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's kind of unusual with this, with any kind of, for anyone to be eating all the time but still losing weight. But with candida, if they're in your small intestines, because they crave sugar, they make you crave sweets. So, you know, all the simple carbohydrates that you were eating as snacks, basically. And I guess you had it bad enough that no matter what you ate, didn't satisfy them because, mm-hmm. you know, they were just... I guess really feeding on the foods that you were eating at that time. Anything else strike you at that time? The first visit to the first few weeks of when things started to get really bad for you?
No. I guess I think my family was. They seemed to. Be relieved that there was some kind of explanation what was going on with me, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, they say, at least we know what's happening to you.
Right.
That's the feedback I got from them.
Okay. Know. And they're quite supportive in that way.
Yeah.
Even if the diagnosis was coming from me, a naturopath.
Well, I think they know you quite well, yeah, my family.
Okay. Could you explain, because I know this... It's hard to bring across how devastating a period of time this was in your life because it not only affected you and your work, but also the family too, I guess, in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. At one point, I was considering going to the mainland and live with my friend up there for a while. I just wanted space and to be alone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And things like that, you know.
Right.
Came in.
Thoughts like that came in.
Yeah, I just wanted space and little things irritated me.
Right.
And,
Right, and that's, I guess, part of depression and,
yeah, the
and mood swings and insomnia and fatigue.
I'd like to mention that when I talked to my doctor about insomnia and depression, he referred me to a psychiatrist to get to address my insomnia,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get medication to sleep, and I did that.
Okay. About when was that?
That was maybe... I saw you early, just second week of February,
right.
And this was like third or fourth week of February.
Okay, so soon after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he put you on any kind of medication?
He gave me some medication to address insomnia, but he said it might be habit forming, so
mm-hmm.
he didn't want me to do it for a lengthy period of time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess that's the problem with the medications that we have for insomnia.
Yeah.
There's three problems. One is habit forming, or they're very addictive. When used for an intermediate to long term. I guess the second would be there's rebound insomnia, where the insomnia can actually get worse after using the medication for a little while. And the third is that they do have an accumulating effect, or the half-life of the medication actually stays in your body for periods of 36 to 48 hours. So you might be even, I guess, sleepy even during the middle of the day after you do get some rest. And what kind of results did the medication give you initially?
I remember you telling me that I was a hard coconut to crack or something like that, because no matter what medication I took, I still couldn't overcome insomnia. And at one point, I went without sleep for 48 hours, 2 days, and I called you.
Yeah.
So you said to, and these medications were timed, you know, you take to a certain time and you wait, but you told me not to wait, just go ahead and take it.
Yeah.
Sooner, because I guess you felt like I should go to sleep.
Right.
You know.
Right. So you're talking about the medication or the supplements?
No, I'm talking about the medication.
The medication. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I had supplements from you, and I had medication from the psychiatrist.
Yeah. And did the medication start to work for you?
Well, eventually I went to sleep, you know, after 48 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
And that must have been really disturbing for you, not sleeping for 48 hours.
Definitely. I was always fatigued and tired and mentally, you know, just mentally and physically fatigued.
Drained,
yeah,
basically.
Drained, yeah,
because I remember you mentioned how exhausted you actually were.
Yeah.
See, I don't know if anyone has tried staying awake for 48 hours. Basically, you almost become, the ability to function is very very limited at that point. So I guess you were getting quite worried at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. What type of treatment, would you explain to the listening audience, what type of treatment did I put you on?
Well, you gave me a strict diet. And it was entirely sugar-free and tasty-free. I would like to say that I had a very good support system. I had a daughter staying home and taking care of a child at that time. Mm-hmm. And she's very active with you, so she understands, you know, dieting and so forth. And
right.
She did all the food preparation for me. And
Because the foods are a little bit different than mainstream local Thai foods. Yeah.
It was dull and repetitious eating. And
thanks for being so honest.
It was prior to this crisis, I was already, you know, dieting to a certain extent.
Right.
Not eating pork, not eating beef, and eating fish, and trying to eat healthy. So
right, a healthier diet.
But even then, I had a hard time. Your diet was, I think, liberal with fish.
Right.
I could eat any kind of fish, any amount. And but as far as vegetables, only certain kind of vegetables.
Right.
No fruits except only papaya.
Yes.
So I had papaya and only certain kind oatmeal.
Right.
So papaya and this certain type of oatmeal,
which is whole oats.
Yeah, I had to go to the health store to buy that.
Right. Basically,
So every morning I had papaya religiously, papaya and
oatmeal.
And because I couldn't eat other things, other fruits, I couldn't eat bread.
Right.
Right.
Bread and pasta.
So, I couldn't supplement, you know, what I was eating. I always ate the whole papaya.
Right.
You know. Every morning.
During this treatment program.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'd feel like you're starving.
I eat only brown rice, but I like brown rice.
Okay.
So was good.
Okay.
And the snacks, I know you were the only other liberal food that you recommended was almond butter, right?
Right.
And I would put that on these tasteless crackers.
The brown rice puffs, whole grain crackers.
Yeah. But I ate a lot of that.
The almond butter.
During the night when I would get up very hungry, 3 a.m., 5, well, 3 a.m., 5 a.m., 1 a.m., I would go in the kitchen. I would be really hungry, and I would eat that almond butter with that cracker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, because like you were still really hungry at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And were you eating nuts and seeds as snacks?
Almond nuts was,
It was a big snack for you.
Big snack, yeah.
Because I do eliminate peanuts and cashews, which most people are their favorites. I want to say, too, that you can also eat avocados on this program.
Oh, yeah.
But, most people don't think that they're a fruit anyway.
that was a delicacy to eat avocado plain.
Plain, that's right. You can't put any sugar.
No, nothing.
Yeah, nothing in there.
Yeah, but...
Okay. So, and I also put you on a whole host of supplements on top of that. And the supplements were for specific reasons, such as to kill the candida and all the different types of candida families. And then a supplement to replace the good bacteria that belongs in your intestines. And then something to strengthen your digestion, because when candida is in your system, because your bacteria release enzymes that help you digest food, your digestive tract is weak. So I added a digestive aid to help you, or digestive enzymes. And then because we're going to be eliminating the candida, and they actually release a lot of toxins, both when they're alive and when they're dying. Actually, we know that they release about a little over 90 different types of toxins that affect us, from benzene to other things like cadaverine and putrescine, which will change. Because they're releasing them in your intestines, they get absorbed into your bloodstream, and they actually change blood chemistry, which eventually changes brain chemistry, which causes the mental emotional type symptoms like insomnia, fatigue, depression, inability to concentrate, difficulty in getting started, or lack of motivation, those kinds of symptoms. And so I wanted to give you something to help your liver and your kidneys so that they could function better and eliminate these toxins that the candida would be creating as they were dying. And plus, we may have even given you supplements to strengthen your immune system at that time. Would you explain what happened in a couple of weeks after we started the treatment in early February?
Well, we always talked about turning the corner. But in a couple of weeks, I stayed home for one whole week. And in a couple of weeks, I said I would like to go to work. And I went to work half time. I went to work at about noontime till 4.
Mm.
But it was a struggle, but things were starting to get better.
Better. Yeah. So you felt a little bit better, so you felt you could actually go back to work.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All the problems you had mentioned, they were minimizing at that point.
Yeah.
But I still struggled through. I still was quite fatigued, and everything I did was a struggle.
Right.
You know.
And you also still had the insomnia, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was still a big concern.
Yeah. But all the other symptoms that we mentioned, you said at the time you felt about 60% better, meaning the other symptoms like the intense hunger, the depression, the heartburn, bloating, the concentrating, those things were starting to seem better for you.
I think what was significant was I could write better.
Mm.
I wasn't so shaky, you know. The formulation of my letters were much better.
Yeah. You could actually read them
gauge,
now.
Yeah, I could gauge myself by that, progress.
And your ability to focus and to concentrate, they were coming back too?
They were coming back,
okay.
Yeah.
After about 2 months, you stated that you're about 90% better. Can you explain that? What symptoms were left?
I know just about that time, entering that period, occasionally I'd wake up in the morning and I'd feel like Superman, you know. Everything
like back
just,
to normal.
Just everything was so great, and I mentioned that to you, and then I would feel like, wow, this is it. I'm totally back.
Better.
Back. Yeah, I'm all over it. But somehow I would regress a little bit.
Yeah, some
back
days
to
were
90%.
Good, some days were bad.
Yeah, some days were good. But you mentioned that you talked about the window.
Mm-hmm.
There's a window of I've experienced where it's
there.
I'm getting there. Yeah,
it's
I'm turning the corner. Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. You know, if you can see it and touch it and feel it, then we know that it's available to you on a everyday basis. And that's what kind of we were waiting for, because we didn't want you to just feel 100% some days and 80% others. We were waiting for that 100% every day to happen. Let's see, by about the third month, you were saying that you were basically about 100% recovered. Can you recall what that was, what symptoms were left and how you were feeling at that time?
Let's see. I started to get to my old eating and sleeping habits. This is what you said? What period of time?
3 months.
3 months, yeah. Mm-hmm. By that time, I could eat what I wanted to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to sleep better.
Okay.
I fell asleep and
no sweating. Night sweats.
Yeah, no night sweats. Yeah.
So about when did the insomnia and the fatigue start disappearing for you or go away totally?
Just prior to, I think right after, I think about 3 months.
At about the 3 month mark?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And
I know I told you that when we first started about how long the treatment was going to be.
Yeah,
I kind of diagrammed it for you in time frame. Like 2 weeks, you probably will get an aggravation, and you probably experienced that aggravation even before then, I guess about maybe the first few days of the treatment.
Yeah.
And then you would start to feel better, and probably about at about 10 to 14 weeks, you would feel about 95 to 100% better.
Yeah, I want to mention at that point, you started to be more permissive as far as eating.
Yeah.
And I went kind of crazy at that point, and I gained a lot of weight.
You know?
I was, all this period of time, I think I was about maybe 7-8 pounds below my
normal
average
weight.
Normal weight.
Which
but
time
the,
is that?
That was like from 2 weeks, 3 weeks, up to almost 6 weeks.
Into the program.
Yeah.
So about February, late February to
March,
early April.
March and...
Probably March.
March, right through March.
Okay.
But the funny thing was I went to the, I had lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But even with that strict
diet,
I never went below a certain point.
Right.
You know,
and you actually gained weight while you were on the strict
and
diet.
And my regular doctor was telling me, I'm at that minimum weight now. You go below that, then we'll have to intervene, do interventions.
Right, right.
He felt that it would be unhealthy for me to go
to
in.
Lose
and
more weight.
Every time I go and see him, he put me on the scale, and amazingly, I wasn't losing
weight.
You wasn't
losing weight.
No, I wasn't,
And that's the amazing thing for me, too, because with your case was that you were on a strict diet. You were already really low in your weight, and yet you didn't lose any weight. You actually were gaining weight.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was because we were actually rebuilding and strengthening your digestive tract. So your body was actually, and getting rid of the candida, so your body was actually now digesting food totally so that you could absorb the nutrients. And on top of that, we were eliminating the candida, and they weren't feeding off of you anymore, basically. So that's why you were able to gain weight. So a lot of people who go on this program typically are overweight when they have a systemic candida problem, and they lose weight, significant weight, while on the program. But for individuals who their digestive tracts are so wrecked because of the candida, they actually do lose weight. And while we put them on the program, they gain weight. So that's the unusualness of this illness called systemic candida. And there's not that many people that I've treated. Typically, there are actually like kids who have that intense craving to eat, and they just got to eat all the time. And they typically eat simple carbohydrates, but the eating would make them sick. which you didn't experience, but that's what I noticed with about maybe 5 or 6 people who had that type of symptom like you did, and they all kind of responded very well to the treatment. Why don't we take this time and go to an important sponsorship break with our friends from Phytopharmaca, Body Sense, and The Shoe Doctor. Hi, this is Dr. Jason Uchida. Welcome back. You are listening to Wellness in the New Millennium on K108. Tonight, my patient Joe is sharing how he overcame a serious bout of insomnia, fatigue, intense hunger, binge eating, depression, and anxiety. The phone number is 524-1080. Before we go ahead and take that call, Joe, you mentioned to me... Oh, not on the air now. Okay. Obviously... I guess you're feeling about 100% better now, since about 6 weeks after the program.
Yeah, I'm back to normal.
Would you go ahead and do this program again if you had to?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. You also mentioned to me while we were on commercial that what one of the medical doctors had mentioned to you, but with systemic candida, when my patients talk to the medical doctors, the medical doctors always say either one of two things. One is that that's a myth and it doesn't exist, and or that systemic candida hasn't been proven. What would you say to that? And what did the medical doctor mention to you?
Well, when I was cured and I went back to my medical doctor and told him I'm okay now, he had to kind of like eat humble pie and, you know, mention that this proves that we doctors don't know everything, you know, and as far as doctors saying it's a myth, I think they have no other answers, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and basically, I guess that's a good learning experience for all of us, meaning that the doctors really don't know everything. And I myself, first one to say I don't know everything, and I'm, you know, there's probably going to be some things that I'm going to learn this week, and I always do learn new things, whether it's about medicine or other things, from my patients themselves. Tell us a little bit about going back to maybe about 5-6 months into the program, when you were feeling about 100% at that time. What were you thinking? How were you feeling?
Well, after experiencing, you know, all what I went through, I was fortunate to get out of it, you know, and I often think about what would happen if I didn't go through. You see, along the way, it was tough, and on many occasions, because maybe of depression too, I would mention to my family that I'm going to quit. You know, I'm just going to drop everything and just go back to my, just eat regularly and just do that.
During the program.
They used to get upset with me. So right now, I always reflect back and think what would have happened if I didn't finish it, you know.
Where would you be today? About when did you feel like you wanted to quit?
I guess the first 2 weeks was really hard.
The first 2 weeks,
yeah. When I was, you know, I wasn't feeling good at all.
Yeah, you know, you were
all
feeling,
the symptoms were there.
Yeah, everything. And they were really exacerbating and getting
worse.
Yeah,
it was the height of, you know, the problems.
Right, okay. And that's understandable, because basically you're at your worst, and the treatment probably is going to make you feel worse too.
Yeah.
At that time. We have a caller on the line. Let's go ahead and take that call. Hi, this is Dr. Uchida. You're on the radio with Joe. You have a question for us?
Yes, Dr. Uchida, how do you know that you have candida?
Well, basically, it's more clinical, meaning you go by symptoms. There's one test that I do recommend. It's a urine test, and it measures the amount of certain toxins that candida release, and it's picked up in the urine. But that test right now costs about $300. So many of my patients don't want to spend that money, and they rely on, I guess, the clinical symptoms and my expertise. Mm-hmm. And luckily, you know, we are able to help the great majority of these individuals. So the list of symptoms is very broad and various, kind of like the ones that we talked about earlier that Joe had.
That's the trouble, you know, you could have these symptoms from something else.
That's true.
And you don't get any help from medical doctors.
Right, and a majority of them is probably a systemic candida infection. And it can be helped. You can get, probably if you're willing to expend about 30 to 45 days in a really strict program, like the diet Joe was mentioning, as well as some of the supplements. And then when you start to experience first aggravation of symptoms, typically within the first 2 weeks, and then you start to feel better, significantly better, within about 30 to 45 days, then you know you're on the right track. That's right.
Why do you eliminate cashew nuts?
Because I'm not only concerned about the systemic candida at this time, because the candida causes its own problem, but because they're in the digestive tract, they weaken your digestive ability. So it increases your potential to have food allergies at this time. So I'm also eliminating potential food allergens. So foods that typically give Americans problems, and cashews and peanuts are big ones, as well as wheat, dairy, corn, tomatoes, bell peppers, eggplants, soy even.